From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, April 10th, 2025. A federal appeals court has refused to reinstate Maine's 72-hour waiting period on gun purchases. As Kevin Miller reports, the rejection comes as a Second Amendment lawsuit continues to play out.
Maine Attorney General Aaron Fry had appealed an earlier ruling by a federal judge that suspended Maine's new law, requiring gun buyers to wait 3 days before taking possession of a firearm. Fry then asked the U.S. Court of Appeals in Boston to allow the state to continue enforcing the waiting period while the court hears the case. But a three-judge panel rejected that request on Thursday, writing that they were not convinced by the Attorney General's arguments. The judges further wrote that the case involves a, quote, emerging area of constitutional law involving a legal standard that is difficult to apply and subject to varying interpretations. Several gun dealers and a self-defense school instructor are challenging the three-day waiting period on constitutional grounds. Supporters of the law say waiting periods save lives by preventing impulsive suicides and homicides. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
The union representing 13 laid-off Maine State Library workers is hoping legal challenges will free up federal funding that's been frozen by the Trump administration. Library officials say they've been unable to access approved federal funds and are forced to lay off nearly a third of the library workforce. Katrina Ray Salas of the Service Employees Union says the lawsuit targets the funding freeze.
That's our biggest concern, because we really feel that the funding should not have been cut to start with. Beyond that, I think some of these positions, there possibly are creative solutions that the state legislature could take on.
State Librarian Lori Fisher issued a statement saying that the funding freeze, quote, harms Maine residents and will have negative consequences in communities across the state. The library will remain closed for 2 weeks while it reorganizes its operations. A new analysis finds that Maine hospitals are in a precarious financial position and that failure to act could result in closures and the end of some services. Patty White reports.
The Maine Hospital Association hired national consulting firm PYA to conduct the analysis, and its findings are bleak. The report says that Maine's larger hospitals are the fifth poorest in the U.S. and are the second most heavily in debt. For critical access hospitals, the situation is slightly better, though the report found that some are financially strong and others are in trouble. Jeff Austin, spokesperson for the Maine Hospital Association, says the national comparison is important.
When hospitals sort of say that they're struggling, you now have a national context to show that it is truly struggling. This isn't just how hospitals are everywhere. We're having a particular challenge right now and need some particular attention.
Austin says one reason why Maine hospitals face unique challenges are high expenses, such as utilities, housing, and aging facilities, combined with a relatively poor population that relies on Medicare and Medicaid for insurance. The association is urging policymakers to help Maine hospitals remain stable. Many are currently absorbing capped Maine care payments because of a state deficit. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Roughly 200 nurses, parents, and community members packed a town hall meeting in Houlton last night to urge Houlton Regional Hospital to reverse its decision to close the labor and delivery unit next month. Natalie Rush said she's been a labor and delivery nurse at the hospital for 4 years.
When they announced the closure of the unit, my mind immediately went to the deliveries I experienced that will stick with me for the rest of my life. The women who had bad hemorrhages, the uterine ruptures, the preterm deliveries, the babies that needed resuscitation.
The closest labor unit is nearly an hour away in Presque Isle. And many at the meeting said they fear the long travel time will endanger mothers and babies. Hospital officials have said the closure is unavoidable due to low birth volumes. The legislature has passed a bill to add more attorneys to the state's new public defender system. Not everyone agrees more money and attorneys are the best solutions to what's been described as a constitutional crisis. Kevin Miller brings us this additional report.
In March, a judge gave the state until this month to come up with a more concrete plan to provide low-income defendants with attorneys, or some people would be released from jail. It's the latest twist in the constitutional crisis that has left some defendants lingering in jail for months without counsel. The emergency measure passed by the House and Senate will add 5 new public defenders, as well as 3 paralegal and administrator positions. Representative Jennifer Poirier is a Skowhegan Republican who serves on the committee that crafted the bipartisan compromise.
I know it's money, and I know we have to figure out where it's coming from, but this has to be a priority. People deserve justice. They're entitled to it in the Constitution, and we need to make that happen here.
But Republican Representative Ken Fredette of Newport unsuccessfully urged his House colleagues to reject the 8 positions and their $3.2 million price tag. Fredette pointed out that the budget for Maine's new Commission on Public Defense Services has grown from zero to $51 million in just a few years.
This is what we're creating, folks. This is the nose under the tent. They start it, and then it grows.
A spokesperson for Governor Janet Mills, who earlier this year said she opposed giving the commission more money, says the governor is reviewing the bill. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
As free school meal programs brace for proposed federal cuts, Maine lawmakers are considering a bill to bolster state funding to maintain them. Senator Mike Tipping's bill would require schools to maximize the reimbursement they receive from the federal government before getting funding from the state for free meals.
Now, we must solidify our commitment to feeding all Maine's children in school as we face draconian budget proposals on the federal level. They would make it harder for schools to feed students and for their families to access federal nutrition programs.
The bill also includes $6 million for free school meals, which was not included in the budget bill that was passed last month. At a public hearing on the bill before the Committee on Education and Cultural Affairs, no one spoke in opposition. Maine's 2 Democratic members in the U.S. House split today over a bill that would require people to prove they are U.S. citizens before voting. The bill would effectively enshrine President Donald Trump's executive order into law. Steve Missler has more.
The Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, known as the SAVE Act, makes sweeping changes to voter registration. Among them is requiring people to provide a government-issued ID, such as a passport, to be presented alongside their birth certificate when registering to vote. Representative Shelley Pingree of the 1st District voted against the measure, while Jared Golden of the 2nd District was one of 4 Democrats who joined Republicans to support it. Voting rights advocates like the Brennan Center for Justice have described the proposal as one of the worst pieces of voting legislation in American history. They argue that it will prevent millions of American citizens from voting because an estimated 21 million people don't have the necessary documents. Non-citizens are already ineligible to vote in federal elections, but Golden argued the change is necessary to prevent them from voting in state and local elections.
And I think that steps to ensure that our elections are for American citizens is really important to protecting that right.
Studies have shown that non-citizen voting is rare and only allowed in 3 municipalities and the District of Columbia. But President Donald Trump falsely claimed that it played a role in his 2020 election loss, and it's become a Republican wedge issue ever since. The bill now moves to the Republican-controlled Senate, where it will need 60 votes to overcome a filibuster. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
State officials are proposing another increase in ferry tolls less than 1 year after fares were raised last summer. Round-trip fares to Swan's Island, Frenchboro, North Haven, Vinyl Haven, and Islesboro would go up about 12%. Children age 5 and under would remain free. Maine State Ferry Service Director Bill Geary says fares must increase to cover rising operating costs.
From an unprecedented amount of ferry mechanical issues to a historic number of leave of absences, family medical leave in the crew ranks, to a continued global mariner shortage that hindered recruitment of new employees to fill vacancies.
Geary says the ferry service has doubled overtime pay and offered bonuses to address staffing shortages. Ferry rates went up by about 18% last August. The ferry service will make the final decision on the new rates after public comment ends later this month. New tolls would take effect June 1st. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, a discussion about rudeness. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.